don't take no time to play. Time to play, time to play. All he does is work all day.
You can play and laugh and fiddle. Don't think you can make me sore. I'll be safe and you'll be sorry when the wolf comes to your door.
Okay, it is Good Friday. One, because I do not have to work, and two, because I'm still on the clock, so that makes it good, but that's not the only reason it's good. Y'all know today, for the Saints, for some of the Aints, whatever the case may be, Good Friday is, this is the day, that we celebrate something really, really dope. So I don't want to downplay it or make it seem like it's because I'm, you know, part of a amazing organization called the Y'all. Like, y'all need to get a part of it, or the UAW, as I like to call it, where I get paid for holidays like this. But considering today, all the way to Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday, it's just a great time, man. It's a time that we celebrate. We get to sit back and we just selected this day and this time to honor the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is something that I always suggest that you should never hold off until one day of the year. I think honoring the life and death and life is something that we should take pause in our lifestyles. I mean, once a day or twice a day or every moment, that's the only thing when it comes to these type of holidays and when they come up, man, is that people will highlight today as if today is the only day or time that what happened was relevant. Like, to be honest, my birthday is only relevant in January, right? But the fact that I'm alive is relevant every morning I wake up. So if I wait to celebrate my life on my birthday, it's kind of like, so it's 364 other days that I chose or selected to not value that gift. You get what I'm saying? Like, life only matters on your birthday. So that's like, well, so what if God only gave you one day a year? Like, you know, you died and you woke up for one day to celebrate your birthday and then you died again. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just interesting. So while I'm not saying don't celebrate it, man, put on y'all finest, you know, the suits, whatever, family, like, do that. You ain't been to church all year? Go. Pastor got a, man, if pastors don't prepare for no other day of the year, they preparing for the day and Sunday. So listen, all I want to say is that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most relevant thing to your everyday life. If it only mattered, listen, it wouldn't even be dope. It wouldn't even be amazing if it only mattered on Friday to Sunday in April. You know what I'm saying? It, like, literally, this is the most relevant event in human history, or in our history, human history. In history, period. Y'all get what I'm saying. This is the most relevant event in existence ever. It's like the best event ever. You know what I'm saying? Because the death and resurrection is just a powerful, powerful, it's everything. It unlocked us to be reconnected to the Father, to the source. So without the death and the resurrection, this podcast would be way different. No, I'm joking. I don't know. Am I joking? that might not be a bad show. I digress. I apologize. Listen, y'all, forget all that. It's episode 50. You listening to Live with Meech Real. Let's go.
I got all I need in Christ. I've been down before, baby. I don't miss my old life. I don't miss my old life. Now I'm safe. God got his hands on me. I've been through the flame, ain't got no stress on me. I know who the blesser is.
Hey, that was just for the one time, man. That's the homeboy Jordan Rambo. Listen, man, go check him out, man. That's just a quick little YouTube search. IG, and that's JordanRamble. It's my homeboy Jordan Rambo with his track Bend Down, man. He's such a fun dude. That's my guy, man. I wanted to, I ain't featured music in a little bit, man. And I love dope content, man. You know, especially music, you know. But I'm very, very sensitive to it. But let's get on into it, man. Man, today's episode, man, is about building, man. So for the last, I want to say all year, but I hear this all the time, man. And I've been a part of building efforts, unity, barbecues, just different and creative ways to try to bring people together who ordinarily wouldn't even be in the same room or wouldn't have any shared, likes or any, they wouldn't really have anything in common. So what was really cool about that, man, is the heart behind unity on the surface is bringing people together to lift one, to lift each other up, right? It's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing criminal. I have nothing underhanded to say about that. Unity on the surface, the concept is, it's what God wants. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to love one another. He wants us to create disciples. And the Bible talks about, so how can two walk together if they don't agree? So there's a foundational where I work. They have something where they call baseline knowledge. And it's probably in a lot of places. Where it's called baseline knowledge is where everybody is at least here. You know what I'm saying? And I think that when we talk about building, we are looking for something that is extremely dope. But I think that our desires and our comparisons and even how we're going about it in some way, shape, or fashion is the reason why it's not as realistic as people think or even looks like the same way. You know what I'm saying? All I hear is we need to come together. We need to come together. You hear that all the time. You hear anytime there's a mass, especially like in the social media world or social media world picks it up, where there's a group of people that come together on the surface, you begin to hear people in the gospel industry, especially entertainers, talk about coming together. My wife actually did a podcast. Her podcast is called Maximizing Monday. You know what I'm saying? So, it's pretty dope. But I digress. Y'all heard LaToya early on here a couple times. A lot of times, actually. Anyway, my wife talked about support. And what you hear some people say, like you see some of the memes and people talk about, if you don't support me, I'm not going to support you. And she had a pretty dope episode where she actually asked the question, go into your closet, right? Open your closet up and look at every brand that you have and ask yourself, how many of these companies are following me? How many of these companies are purchasing my product? How many of these companies are interacting with me? Like, the support that I'm demanding from people, am I demanding it from people or people close to me? People that I actually value a little less than I value a Kmart. You know what I'm saying? Because no one goes to Kmart or goes to the register and as they're going through the self-scan, or y'all bet not be in that self-scan. As they're talking to a actual person, as they walk past the self-scan, they tell one of the lovely attendants and person that may be there, and they say, hey, listen, here's my Instagram, and I'm going to buy this stuff, but I need you to follow me, and I need every brand on here. I need you to contact their owners and their CEOs right now, because I'm not going to support someone who's not supporting me. Like, for real, I really, I really want somebody to do it. Like, for real. Like, dog, that would be a cool challenge. Like the support challenge, and actually have people videotape themselves, go to, you know, to the headquarters of like Jet's Pizza or Gucci, or find the CEOs of these companies, try to find Mark Zuckerberg and say, hey man, listen, I've been on Facebook for a long time, bro. I need you to support me, because I'm not going to support you if you don't support me, right? Now, that sounds silly, right? Like, man, they too big. But then people are literally walking around with the resenting family and friends because they started a business and your family and friends have invested, and you're like, oh, that's, you know, we need to support one and each other. We got to support this. We got to support that, right? Y'all get where I'm going with this? So this is what I'm saying, man. When we talk about support, there are some fundamental things that we have to face. Because this is the thing. There's a difference between support, coming together, and coexisting. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm trying to think about okay, real quick. People want support, right? When they're doing something, they want someone. You say, so what's support? How do I support your business, right? Can I like, if I hit a like on a post about your business, is that real support? Right? Let's be honest. Like, because outside of Twitter, if you like something, somebody has to go to this page, to that page, to find out to see what you're liking, right? If they're not on the exact same page, but it doesn't really amplify your reach. So is that enough? Hey man, as long as you like it, you support me. Is that enough, right? Or two, coming together. Can we just all stand in the same room? And what does come together look like? What does coming together look like? What are we going to stand for once we come together? And is this something that we just need to do online? Can we just do this randomly? Or does it need to be some preparation behind the scenes? Right. I'm just asking questions. Now, in the third one, you talk about coexisting. You see the bumper stickers, you hear people talk about it. Because the one thing that we do, especially in America, is we are immersed in a melting pot of personalities, culture, religions, belief systems, and the new thing, spiritualities, which, whatever, I'm not gonna get into all that. But we're in a place where everybody has their own depiction of something that they want to be identified with by. People want to be identified by their race. They want to be identified by their sexual preference. They want to be identified by their social media following, like, or their name, like, call me, I don't know. People want to be identified by their brand. People want to be identified by whatever. And the one battle that we do have in this world is that people feel that if I am not openly promoting you, I am hating on you. Or if I'm not openly telling everybody how dope you are, then I must not support you. I must hate you. Or for us believers, if we don't embrace certain people publicly, that means we're not loving people, because the world has become the standard of what love is, even though the world don't even know what love is because they... Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me, I apologize. What I'm saying is that there are three things I want to talk about. Support, coming together, and coexisting. These are things that you continue to hear people talk about, but it's hard for people... But when it's talked about, it's only spoke of on the surface, and there's not any actual substance when we talk about it. Because what does coexisting look like? You know what I'm saying? As a believer, there are things that I do, it's sin. I have a worldview that wrong exists and right exists, and being indifferent is wrong, unless you literally don't know. But there is a wrong and a right, just like there is a day and a night. Bars. But I digress. Hey man, let's go ahead. Look, we got a lot to talk about. I'm so excited. Hey man, this is episode 50, but let's go to my favorite sub segment. Well, one out of You know what, man? Let me just take that back real quick. I gotta be honest with y'all. All my segments are my favorite, and I don't know why I say it in introducing one, like I'm not a favorite to the other. It's kind of how I do it with my kids. Like, you know, when I see one, I'm like, hey, you my favorite. Then I see the other one, and you my favorite. And then I tell the other one, you my favorite. So I'm telling them one by one. But in all reality, they all my favorites. And I just can't keep the sham going, man. So this is one of my favorite and segments. So let's talk about it. How are you doing? My name is Beach Real, and this is some of the things that's happening in the news. There's a lot going on in the news today, but the first thing we want to talk about is sports. Okay, cue the music. I am from Detroit. Detroit, Michigan. We are the home of Michigan State University, the University of Michigan, the Detroit Pistons, the Detroit Lions, the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Tigers, the Loyola Bulldogs, shout out to them, shout out to my guys, the West Side Cubs, yeah, they're there, and it's a lot of other teams, but it's not about them today. It's about the Detroit Pistons are in the playoffs, and you're probably asking me right now, like, this is a good thing, right? Why are you playing this sad music if your team is in the playoffs? Because as everybody knows, LeBron James and the Lakers aren't in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So why would you be sad? Cleveland isn't in the, I don't even think they're in the NBA anymore. I just haven't heard about them at all. I think they're gone since LeBron left them and abandoned them. But I'm not talking about LeBron. I'm talking about the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons are in the playoffs, and we're playing the Milwaukee Bucks, who is led by Giannis, and I will not attempt to say his name, but y'all know who Giannis is. Right now the series is 2-0. The first game, the Pistons lost by 40. The second, they lost by 21. And because I'm a believer and I speak life, the Pistons are not going to lose by any more than 11. It's just math. It's basic math. And then game four, they may only lose by 1 point. It's just a tough time, man, in Michigan. When your teams, you even get more sad when your teams make it to the playoffs because you don't see them having a chance of even competing or winning. Blake Griffin got hurt. Andre Drummond is, I don't know. He's doing his best, I guess I would say that. Overall, man, those guys are struggling. It looks really bad in the playoffs. And if you are a Detroit fan, I guarantee you're not enjoying watching this. You probably would prefer the Pistons to be at home watching the playoffs with LeBron and the rest of the Lakers that were let down by LeBron. I'm not talking about LeBron. I'm talking about the Pistons. So today's first show story is about the Detroit Pistons being in the playoffs. They are down 2-0. They play again on Saturday. And let's just hope for the best. And that's all I have to say about that. In other news, a journalist was shot dead during the riots in North Ireland. Now listen, Northern Ireland police confirmed the identity of a 29-year-old woman shot dead during riots. The journalist goes by the name of Lyra McKee, and the authorities are considering this murder a terrorist incident, and they have launched a large murder inquiry. Now, so this story follows up after reports of shots being fired, disarray in the Cregan area of Derry and Londonderry, that the 29-year-old woman, she had died. She was a journalist. Now, this story kind of is tough. You know, in the very least, man, what's going on all over the world is extremely heartbreaking when you hear about stories like this. Now, the reason why I'm even talking about this story is for all of us podcasters or writers or anyone out here, even if you don't put the study behind it or take it seriously, what you're doing and saying is considered a form of journalism. Now, it's not Nobel Peace Prize, or it's not of a high caliber, maybe, depending on the work you're putting behind the scenes, but it's still some kind of content which makes you, in some way, shape, or form, a journalist. And journalists put themselves in harm's way all the time to get people the news, the images, the stories from the victims, to get you what you want to know or what you should know from ground zero. Now, this story is relevant here, if you're listening to it, because if you are a believer and you are putting out Christian content, this is one of those times that you have to, and I very rarely report the news when it comes to murder or war. And in other countries, there are journalists that are people going around speaking and teaching the gospel that are losing their lives, literally, because they're putting themselves in harm's way because of how important the good news is. The one thing in this time, in this moment, is that most people in America are safe and free to do so. So prayers go out to the family of the 29-year-old Miss McKee. Prayers to the family, friends, everyone that knew her, and overall, just a prayer for peace, man, that God begins to infiltrate the hearts of the world, of the people, that the greed and the wickedness of this world begins to subside. Now, biblically, you know, many would say that that's something that won't happen on a worldwide scale, just prophetically, but I still believe that if not everybody can change, most people still have the opportunity to. Or everybody might not change, but everybody has the opportunity and the grace to, because of the God we serve. So prayers again, man. So listen, journalists, thank God if you're living in a country where you're not being hunted for the content you're putting out. And for those of you listening to this in another country, because I do have a couple out of the country, listeners, if you are putting out content and you are putting yourself in danger, prayers to you. Stay encouraged, man. Be careful. Be safe. And do what God has called you to do. So my prayers and my heart goes out to the family that's lost anyone in any way, shape, or form for any reason. But but also just for the sake of this story, any journalist who is sacrificing their life to make sure people get the news. Hey, so much respect for your sacrifice. Prayers to you, to the whole family. Yeah, man, that was tough. So listen, man, my last story for today is about support, which is so funny because the show is about support. Hey, man, I want y'all to check out a podcast that I thoroughly enjoy. It's called the Hope Changers Podcast. You can check out everything Hope Changers does. I mean, they're a publishing company. They're a ministry. They're just a lot of dope stuff.
In today's time, it's still the same way. It has not changed. That is still something that Satan attacks people's minds with. And it's a lot easier to attack people's minds with depression and anxiety and all these different things that we are starting to learn about today, simply because of the generation and the era that we're in. We're in an era of entitlement. We're in an era of privilege. We're in an era where everyone thinks that they're supposed to have something.
So I want y'all to check them out, man. Hope Changers, intl.org. www.hopechangersintl.org. Or you can search on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts and search Hope Changers. And because they're Cam Fam, like myself, and that's attached to the Clean Air Media Network, you can also just search Clean Air Media in iTunes and mostly all of these streaming sites as well. And you'll see it's a white background, green lettering. It's called Hope Changers. Check them out. They're super dope.
And that's all I have to say about that.
So I did a Facebook Live the other day. I asked a question about building. And hearing everybody talk about building more and more and more, and let's come together, I wanted to break down three arguments or three statements that I want to kind of challenge. You know what I'm saying? I got some great feedback on Facebook, man. People made statements about how... let me share. Shout out to all my listeners that's coming from Facebook, man. I appreciate y'all. So one, my guy's name is... Deshaun Convictor Williams on Facebook. He's a pastor and also a Christian rapper. Y'all check him out. If you like him, you love him, whatever. Let him know. Show him some love if you desire to support him, which is what the show is about. Support. Oh, anyway. No, but he said, so when I asked the question about what's the foundation of building for you, he said it's edifying and adding to one another, right? So then he also added, when I talked about foundations of building, he said the bamboo tree, it grows underground for 7 years and then it breaks through into a full-blown tree, which means that this tree spent more time building a foundation underground where no one could see before it was something that was publicly shown and manifested, which means that the importance isn't how high, but where you're rooted. You know, that's a word for somebody. I just preached a little. Then I got another guy on here, Ken Dandridge. He actually has a restoration company called Change Me, where your license, you got your child support, tickets. You're just living dirty. You just got problems. You need help. No, he has a dope company to help you try to restore that thing, restore those things, talk to some lawyers, maybe help you get your license back, help you set up settlements to help you get back on the road, to help you be able to get back in into the world where you can seek employment and other things, and just get your life back started and you know, being able to function as a regular person. Because sometimes your lifestyle and those consequences can put you in a place where it makes it even harder for you to get out that hole. So the one question that people always ask is, how can you dig yourself out of a 6-foot hole? And some people say, man, I dig. Like, no, you can't dig yourself out of a hole. You have to stop digging. So check out Change Me. It's my man Ken Dandridge on Facebook. But he said the foundation of building is first committing to not give up no matter what. Is next finding the teammates with strengths in areas where you are weak to help each other reach the goal faster. It's also not being afraid to let go of those that are not meant to tag along through the entire process. Which is actually great feedback, man. I think that the foundation is very, very, very important. And I think that because we desire a certain level of support and validation and numbers, that sometimes people are willing to want to surpass or ignore or go around the foundation or the bamboo process to get the looks. Because most recently, man, a young man passed away. He lost his life, as well as many others have lost their lives, been murdered, and the world mourned for the person. And I saw a lot of people try to hijack the mourning and the death of an actual person to push their propaganda, to promote their music, promote their brands, as in, oh man, if we're gonna support somebody who's dead, let's support people who are alive. And I've heard other people mention an actual person who lost their life as their entry to a conversation of being supported, which is very tasteless, and it just is really whack. It's really whack, period. Not period like women be saying. I'm just saying at the end of a sentence. I digress. So what is the foundation of support? So I asked the question, man, on Facebook, and I've been talking to people. I've been watching stuff. I've just been trying to get, what do people really want? And then it came to me is that people want, how do I say this without just saying it mean? I mean no disrespect to anybody. I'm not talking about nobody in particular. I have nobody in mind. This is not any shots being fired because somebody was talking crazy about me online. And it's like, this is my platform, so now I'm coming for you because there ain't nothing you can do because I'm talking to myself. It's none of that. You know what I'm saying? I have nobody on my mind or my heart but my family and myself and my friends and people that I love, and thinking about when I think about support and coming together, what is it supposed to look like? You know what I'm saying? So this is what I've noticed and observed, that many times when I hear people call for support, they're the ones asking for it. Like when I heard people say, oh man, people came together when Nipsey died, why won't they come together? You know, it's people in your hood named Nipsey. Like, you know, and then they'll put a hashtag and they're like, I got an album out right now, or I'm selling these t-shirts, or I'm doing this program, or I'm like, so it's like, so wait. So you don't want the world to come together. You want the people to come behind you. Because how dope would it be for your brand to have millions of people sharing it and on TV and sharing pictures and talking about you? And I think the one thing that we have to acknowledge is the fact that coming together can't be about one person, because people will let you down. People are limited. People are flawed. And that if we come together behind one person, that means that's more like worship. You get what I'm saying? Versus an ideal that actually takes care of a group of people versus something that's self-serving for one individual in particular. You know what I'm saying? I got a podcast. Y'all come together for this. Y'all need to come together and listen to my stuff so I can have a million streams. And that's us coming together. Like, no. That's us supporting you and supporting what you're doing. So we're not coming together. We're not supporting one another. We are promoting you. But let me break down these three. I want to talk about these three things, and then I'm going to hit y'all with a meet my preach, and then I'm gone. I'm done. You feel me? So the first thing is support. The word support, it's something that people are beginning to use, or I've seen it used in a way to guilt people into buying something they don't want. You get what I'm saying? It's like, oh, support, you know, support black businesses, right? Okay, cool, which is not bad. So let's say I go to a black business that has horrible customer service, and it's like, should I accept the customer service or should I ask for a standard? You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets weird, because then it's like, oh, so you only buy here? It's like, no, it's not that the person white or black. It's that they have a good product. They're efficient. They're doing this. They're marketing it this. They're putting it here. They're doing that. And I'm buying it. I might be just driving down the street and see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the one thing that McDonald's has done very well is that they're everywhere. And if you're hungry, you may know you do not want to eat that stuff, but they're everywhere. You're like, man, let me just get some fries. Let me just go. You know, hey, y'all can't see me, but I'm doing the turn signal. Like, I'm turning with my hand. Like, I got my hand halfway. Like, I'm clutching the steering wheel, and I'm just rotating it real quick, because I was turning in imagination land into the drive-thru to get some McDonald's fries that I said I wasn't going to eat no more. But I digress. This is support, man. So let me go back to what I was saying earlier. Support, let me like your post. Now, only on Twitter have I noticed that when somebody likes something, it shows it on everybody who they follow page, which is actually pretty dope, because that means whatever you like, you're introducing to your following, which is cool, unless you liking some crazy stuff and then you might be showing some stuff about you that you need to pray for and get delivered from. But it's not what we're talking about today. But most sites, man, the likes, the comments, this, that, and the fourth, may not be actual support to the business. The second part of that is, do you really want people to buy? So they just buy your stuff because you black, or they just buy your stuff because y'all friends, or they're your mama, your daddy. They just buy their stuff. Or they just listen to your podcast and they completely hate it. They're not being fed by it. They're not your audience. Do you want someone to do something because y'all are cool when it literally brings them nothing to their life? That's not support. That's slavery. That's selfishness. That's self-righteousness. It's just kind of weak. You know what I'm saying? And it's also lazy business. I believe that people will try to use, oh, we need to support each other, and just support each other for the sake of supporting is a way that someone is trying to guilt someone to pour into their business versus them doing what every successful business does, and it's find a target audience, have a product shaped for that audience, direct it, market, and focus on providing a service to the people that service benefits, not people giving you money because they know you doing this business and you passionate about it. And that's not to hurt anybody. This is something that my wife has gone through with me, and we're going through, and they're trying to teach me and others about when you're promoting, you have to find your niche. You have to find your specific and direct audience and cater to them. If somebody from the side, or if your mama wants to just throw you some seed money because she loves that you're doing something, that's cool. But that's not your audience. That's somebody who's showing you some love. Hey, they're showing you support. Hey, I love what you're doing. But that may be a one-time thing. That's not a business model. The business model, it can't be built on the foundation of people showing you pity or doing something just because they love you. Because anything you put out and people consume, you don't want them to do it because they had to, because they know you. You want them to do it and you want them to actually benefit from it. So the foundation is benefiting the people who need it, not people buying so I can make money doing what I want to do. Okay? Now the second one is coming together. How do we come together, right? What's coming together mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to come together. We want people to come rally behind us, right? This is the one thing about coming together. The world will always be able to come together for any and everything because the world is trendy. They have no standard and they're bipolar a little bit. I mean, we can literally praise someone for being positive with the intent, with no intent or desire to ever becoming positive ourselves. We can literally talk about, man, this person is so dope. I love everything they do. They so great. Oh man, this, that, and the four. I'm talking about we, and they come together for huge rallies. Stop the violence. Stop hurting people. Stop sexual assault. Stop all of these trendy, hot button topic issues, and literally not change the content we listen to that actually perpetuates and supports the same stuff that we were just marching about. We will literally go to a funeral of somebody who died by gun violence while listening and purchasing and streaming music that is talking about gun violence. The same thing, so it's easy to come together when you're just in your feelings, because you're just in your feelings and they change and you can change as that. And that's not a strong foundation. No one wants to live in a house that was built in a day. Nobody wants to live in a house that has holes in the floor. A house where somebody can run and push your house down the street. We want a foundation, and a true foundation has to be built on something bigger than one person, but supports and loves everybody. Do that make sense? Let me say that. If I build a foundation of coming together on me, hey man, we need to come together for Live with Meach Real, for the Meach Real brand. We need to come together for the real ones. Like, those are my accountability brothers. Those are my partners, right? So we need to come together for the real ones, and y'all can just come together all up under my branch, or come under your branch or your business. Or then it's not about coming together, it's about you guys helping me. Versus, and that stuff won't last. That's why you see groups break up. That's why you see people get divorced. That's why you see people make commitments that they can't stick to, because at the end of the day, the foundation was rooted in self-serving and making me feel good, doing something I want. But this is when the foundation comes into play. Just like that bamboo stick tree that grows 7 feet under, grows for 7 years underground first. That's a powerful foundation for someone who's trying to build something that'll last. You know what I'm saying? So my group of partners, the real ones, these are my brothers, compiled of a bunch of guys that's all over doing whatever they want to do or however they're supposed to do. But our foundation is the word of God. Our foundation is Christ. Our foundation is living lives of integrity, meaning we're not supporting each other. We're building a foundation with one another. And that's something that's very, very important. And it's something, it's an art that we've lost, because we just want people to support us because we want that great show of support when you got millions of people sharing your stuff or buying your stuff, right? Come, let's come together like that. But like, no, that only helps me. What can I build? What can you build? What can we come together and do that will change the world? Or will it change the world with your name on it? So it's tough for a believer or a person who lives a life that's dedicated to a standard, right? The body of Christ, it's hard for us to come together when we don't have a foundation. You know, and that was my example, is that if you believe that God, Christ died for you to become rich, and I believe that if Christ doesn't do anything else, he's already done too much. He's already done enough. If you believe that God's grace is everlasting, and that no matter what you do and how you live, you're going to heaven, and that Christ supports and condones your work, you know, your lifestyle if you live in reckless because of God's grace. Because God's grace is so amazing, you can do anything and you're still going to heaven because Christ loves you. And I believe that we have to live and walk in holiness, and that living a life of repentance is dedicating to living a life after a holy God. Even if we never obtain full holiness every second, every moment of the day, our whole soul's desire is to live holy, is to become stronger in the faith, mature in the faith, and not living a life of repentance, meaning not living a life where I'm just supporting sin and just in my sin. If you believe that everything the Bible has to offer, the only thing the Bible has to offer is money, and I believe that the Word of God offers salvation and much more than monetary gain, our foundations are very, very weak. And meaning that sooner or later, we're going to come to a place where we're going to not be able to walk together because we disagree. Especially if your outward display of your faith contradicts my internal belief system. If my worldview is of holiness and your worldview is of celebrity and fame, sooner or later, we're going to hit a crossroads that we're not going to be able to enter with one another. And it's not really a personal attack or a judgment. It's really something that if I have a specific vision, if I'm motivated, inspired by the Word of God, if this is a conviction, it's something that I'm willing to die for, if I'm willing to sacrifice, if I'm willing to endure hardship for, then I cannot compromise on any level, because the moment I begin to compromise, I pervert my results. The moment I compromise my vision has now been changed. My lane has been diverted. So what I was building can no longer look like what it was supposed to look like because I've changed the floor plan. And that's major. Hope y'all get what I'm saying. And I can go on and on about that. That's such a heavy topic, but I want to go to the last part, and it's about coexisting, right? How can we coexist? How can I coexist when there are people who are gay, transgender, murderers, selling drugs, wild, reckless, sexual, overly sexual, overly provocative or profane, hate, racist? Oh man, what else can you think of? How can we coexist in a world where there are so many different moral standpoints, backgrounds, belief systems? How can we coexist, and is it realistic? And this has been a personal battle for me of finding the balance of how can I allow people to live without dimming who I am, the God I serve, not going out of my way to be obnoxious or offensive, but also not compromising my message because of the emotions of my audience, as well as not expecting an audience that's not mine to accept or believe or agree with what I say. And how can we move, live, and navigate in a world where people will disagree with you, sometimes just for clout? There are some people who literally will argue with me if they think, because they know I'm a Christian, and assume that I believe that Kenny G Jesus is Jesus, and that picture that some churches put up is biblical or right. They will literally argue with me off of the base and the foundation of a faith and an understanding of disagreeing with Christians, because the world is becoming more racially aware and more racially, they just worship skin and race. Like, race and the flesh is becoming more prominent in every conversation, and that now it's more about your blackness, or it's more about your race, or it's more about your body type or how you're shaped. It's more about what's on the outside than what's on the inside. So every conversation is super deep on the surface. People are literally drowning in their deepness on the shallow end. Like, people are drowning in 3 feet of water. Some people are drowning on a water fountain because we're so deep on the surface of stuff because of the tone of the world. It's easier to be that way, right? And that's people's foundation. So how can I coexist with being someone who's openly boisterous about my faith with God, who's open about who Christ is, who's open about holiness and believing that there is a wrong and that there is sin and that Christ loves us so much and he loved the world so much that he sent his son, like I talked about in my last podcast, meaning if Christ sent his son, he loved the world so much that he gave us an option. He gave us an opportunity to reconnect. Not that he loved the world so much, he said stay how you are and that you can do nothing. Like the woman at the well, when people talk about, you know, he without sin cast the first stone. In that story, Christ said, okay, will I kill you? No, now go and sin no more. Meaning that God has a desire for us to live holy. Not that we will always be perfect, but his desire always goes back to us living righteously. And that's a mentality. You may miss the mark. That's kind of where the word sin comes from. It's a word from archery, of actually having a target and missing it. So sin can be way more than just killing somebody. It could be way deeper than what you see. It could be you just making posts to hurt somebody else that you're trying to stab at, but you're using the Bible or you're using your platform to throw jabs at someone, but you're doing it in a way that's prideful, but no one can actually know unless the people who know. You know what I'm saying? Like the weird stuff that people do that we don't consider sinful because, hey, we're talking about God. Like I can make a statement about if me and my wife get into it and I make a post like, hey man, God, women, y'all need to read the Bible to learn how to serve y'all husbands. Now listen, on the surface that may not be bad, but I'm tripping. Now let me get back because I went on a tangent. Coexisting and compromise can't be the same thing. It can't look the same way, and we have to be very conscious of that. So I live in a world around people who don't share my faith, and I live around in a world who people who say they share my faith who go about it a whole different way. And the one thing that I've learned, the way that we can coexist, is that one, I may not support everything you do publicly. I may not worship everything that you do if it disagrees with my who I am and what I believe. But you know that you always have someone to call who will love you and, one, tell you the truth that will help you, and, two, if they have it, I'll help you. If I got it, then I can give it to you. Now, if I only got enough for me, then we're going to have to try to figure out another plan. We're going to have to pray about it and see what we can do. But if I have it, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a battle. But when I say when we coexist, that doesn't mean I have to support you. I can't. I have relationships with people that is literally no one will know about because it's about me and the person building and growing versus people knowing who I'm growing with. Because if a bamboo tree grew from the ground up first, it wouldn't be strong. So be careful what you're asking for when you're asking somebody to support you or talk about coming together or coexisting, because you can allow a lot of people into your business that can actually tear it up from the roots because the foundation is bold, or give your walk a bad name, or have you compromising and not knowing because you just want the appearance of a bunch of people around you versus the foundation that God will give you of a team and a organism that can work towards the greater good, not just towards your brand, but towards the Great Commission. If you're a believer, if you're not, then you first got to get saved, and we get all into that. But listen, this is all I'm going to say, so I'm ending. Listen, hear me out. Us believers, I'm talking to believers right now. Believers, hear me out. Our job is not to bring other Christians to support what we're doing. The Bible tells us to create disciples, to live and walk in sound doctrine. You know what I'm saying? So the first thing that we have to come to is what sound teaching is, because that's our foundation. Christians should not have thousands of different versions of a foundation. That's not a foundation. Those are a bunch of opinions. And you can't build a powerful movement on opinions. You could build a very dope looking visual on opinions and emotions, but it won't hold in the ground. It won't last past the 15 minutes of fame social media gives everything. We have to dig deeper. It's not about having a bunch of people around. It's not about people buying your stuff. It's about you creating a product or creating a service that helps someone that God has called you and wants to position you to help them. That may not be everybody or everyone or whoever's related to you. That's specific, right? Coming together. Do not settle for being around a bunch of people and consider that unity. Because if all of you don't have the same foundation or have a strong foundation, you'll do more damage in the long run, which will actually have you living in the life of regret and frustration because you knew better. But before the appearance of unity, you put yourself in a compromising position, especially in public. Real, true building always starts within first. Christ doesn't want to change you on the outside and in the end. It always starts from the in and out. A seed, you can't see a seed grow until it manifests through the, but it's a lot of thing that happens through the seed process. God, death starts behind closed doors. And coexisting, listen, you should love everybody. You don't need to put your hands or go out your way to hurt or target or attack. You can always be an option of love and resources without compromising your message so other people are comfortable. But remaining in a place where you're not attacking everyone and everything you do, but you're sending out a clear message of your faith, not an attack of everybody else's beliefs. And then there's a difference. Now listen, I was already preaching, but let's go to your grandma's favorite segment, Meek Mill Preach. I know y'all gonna enjoy it. I think I'm gonna change that intro. So it sounds more like baseball. It's supposed to be at Oregon, but I digress. No, look, man, I want to just share this story about foundation. Okay, it's Matthew 13. And I want to talk about the parable of the scattering of the farmer scattering seed. Okay, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd gathered around him. He got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood there on the shore. He told many stories in forms of parables as this. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. He scattered them across the field. Some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender parts. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that has been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Wow. Man, I forgot. I forgot how specific this parable was and pertains to my show, because I got the scripture before I recorded. I got the scripture before I got the concept of the show. So to talk about it and go back and see this breakdown was amazing. So I want y'all to hear this out here. Listen, I'm going to take it back to the actual parable. He said, listen. A farmer went out and he planted some seeds, right? So we came together. People, hey, y'all, come together. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them right up. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rocks. Shallow soil. So it was dirt there, right? It was something to build on, right? You come together for this one reason. The seeds sprouted up quickly, which can happen. You can get a lot of attention right away, right? Quickly, because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. The foundation was so bold that once they were continued to be exposed in the light that they were chasing, like we want to be famous, we want these huge followings, once you got that attention because you weren't rooted, that stuff can kill you, right? And then it says, in 7, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and got choked out and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times that has been planted. He said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Your foundation matters, man. It matters everything. And it's something that you can't skip the process. As my homeboy Jermaine talks about all the time, the process is rooted in your foundation. You have to seek depth. I know how everything looks, but listen, if you seek depth, you will bring a harvest and you will benefit more people you will bring more substance to the world and to those that love you, as well as in your own life and that you love and that you don't know, deeper than what people see. People can see somebody give somebody $100, but it's very rare that the people that are putting in the hard work and the time that are pouring into people behind closed doors, how many people they are keeping and encouraging from committing suicide, from having sex before they get married, or from committing suicide or being depressed because they have sinned, but getting up and living a life of repentance. You have no idea the impact you have on a person when you're being that seed planted in fertile ground and encouraging others to also plant themselves in that same fertile ground. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode, man. This was episode 50. This was something that was very important to me because it's about the foundation. And I thank God for this foundation. I hope this blessed y'all. Y'all be listening to Live With Me Trill. Peace out. Oh, yeah. Let's go back to my homeboy Jordan Ramble. Let's get it.
All I need in Christ. I've been down before, baby. I don't miss my old life. I don't miss my old life. Now I'm saved. God got his hands on me. I've been through the flame. Ain't got no stress on me. I know who the blesser is. I know who the blesser is.
Clean Air Media.